Welcome to Talking Success, the podcast series that focuses on everything fintech. I'm your host, Aaron Franks, and each week I'll be joined by a series of experts in the field who have a wealth of knowledge to share. It's time to meet this week's guest, so grab a coffee and let's start talking success.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Talking Success. I am obviously not Darren Franks, but I am honored to have him as well as the other amazing co-founders of the FinTech Association of South Africa here with me, Andreas Perez and Kagiso De Chaba. Welcome, gentlemen, to Talking Success.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for having
us. Strengthening on this side of the panel. I've got to be honest, I'm usually sort of sat where you are, so this is all new to me.
Yes, not that I'm supposed to tell the viewers that, but it's new to me too. So let's see how we go. You know, I think I speak for so many people in the fintech ecosystem that have wanted a unified voice for fintech, specifically in South Africa. You know, I think it's such a broad industry with so many different kind of subsectors that sometimes the smaller ones seem to feel kind of undervalued or lost. And I know Finas is more than that. So I want to hear from you guys directly. We want to talk about the view of Finasa, how fintech in South Africa is being shaped. So let's get straight into that. Kagiso, I wonder, as the interim chairman, if you could start by giving us an overview of Finasa's mission, vision, basically just a really nice introduction as to what you guys are doing and what you're planning.
Finasa is a non-profit organization, and then we are committed in advancing fintech ecosystem in South Africa, and not only in South Africa, but also the economy of South Africa. And one can say that our mission basically focuses on about 4 to 5 pillars, as an association, and with core focus on advocating for regulatory frameworks within South Africa. We advocate for the ecosystem and our members in South Africa. And one can easily say even collaboration is very important, right? We facilitate collaboration between members, our members, and also international participants, because we see a strong interest in South Africa from non-domestic fintechs. So we find that we become a stepping ground, or call it a channel, for the non-domestic to participate on the ecosystem of South Africa. So, and I guess one thing that is strong and we're very proud of is the driving the education and awareness campaign. Education is for the fintechs in the ecosystem, and also awareness for our members, but with strategic focus on making sure that our members are aware of the latest and greatest technologies and regulatory requirements that are out there. And personally, championing inclusivity and diversity within the ecosystem.
Does any of the other co-founders have any additional points that you want to cover about Finasa, where you guys are going, what the goals are?
I think I'll address the elephant in the room, or the two elephants in the room, which is myself and Andres. Given Andres is Colombian, I'm British. I thought it's probably worth mentioning, you know, what are two foreigners doing, you know, heading up the FinTech Association of South Africa. But really and truly, I think this is testament to how multicultural, how inclusive the FinTech ecosystem is here in South Africa. You know, despite us being sort of foreigners, albeit we've both lived here a very long time, we've been, you know, welcomed with open arms, certainly by Kagiso and Danielle, and the rest of the wider ecosystem. So I think that's testament to South Africa. I think that's, you know, something that South Africa should be extremely proud of. We're not going into history, but where we are today, you know, Andres and I are certainly very humbled by, you know, the response that we've had from industry. So I just wanted to mention that. Andres, over to you.
Yeah, I think when we started FinTech Association, we could not believe how such big industry did not have a representative body to address the common issues. But this is something that was in the works and had to be done. I think, like Darren said, over the last couple of years now. This is something that has been going on for a couple of years. We have been welcomed by the regulators, by the banks, by the fintechs, by different ecosystem players in the industry. And I think that what we want to do and something that we're trying to achieve is to create something that is long-lasting, that it will benefit the ecosystem and, in essence, aid the economy in South Africa. As we know, everybody has heard the benefits of fintech. And I think it was time to come together to tackle those issues that perhaps we're getting stuck.
Look, I mean, I think it's really exciting stuff. I've heard from so many people in the industry that fintech as a whole gets the reputation of almost being the whimsical aunt at the proverbial serious financial services table. You know, the guys that pitch up in the jeans and the hoodies instead of actually pitching up to the conference in a suit. So although that's kind of the opinion of those out there when they look into the industry, I think there are obviously some really serious issues that seem to plague the industry itself, specifically in Africa. I actually read an article in Fun Times magazine in January about how fintech is changing the financial system in Africa. And it started talking about some of the challenges that fintechs face. I'm curious, Andres, if I can stay with you, what is your view on the current state of fintech in South Africa, and what are the main challenges that we've yet to overcome?
I think fintech in South Africa at the moment is going probably through the most, let's call it hectic transition when it comes to regulation. I think with the change of the national payment system, with Vision 2025, with the IFWG, with the coffee bill, with crypto being regulated, with buy now, pay later coming as a strong fintech player, we have seen that we're still lacking a little bit when it comes to regulation in the side of what is allowed to do and what is not allowed to do. And I think the regulators, like in every single country, play a massive role. I think like a lot of the fintechs are trying to solve issues. Issues that come from, you know, cross-border payments, giving finance to those that were previously disadvantaged or were like excluded from the financial system, like the banks. So fintechs itself do have a massive role that play in the ecosystem in South Africa. So with that being said, the regulators are not far behind. I think, as you know, South Africa plays on a risk-based approach, which means that they will see how it goes and then they will decide how to regulate, which is in essence not a bad thing because it promotes that sort of innovation. But something that it's a stiff seal is the collaboration between the regulators and the fintechs. It has to be a little bit more collaboration. There has to be more education around how some of the fintech products work because, as you know, like fintechs are innovators. It's ways that we find that perhaps were not done before. And the regulators might not understand how some of the products work. So I think the participation between industry participants and regulators is it's a key element. And obviously, like there has to be a clarity when it comes to frameworks and regulation. As we know, like card is a thing of the old days. Now we have wallets, banking system is a thing of the old days. So we have to embrace innovation. We have to also protect the consumer. I think that's one of the main things in South Africa is consumer protection. And some of the fintech products might be risky. We might see it because we're in the industry, we might see it as, you know, this is innovative. This is going to disrupt the market. But when it comes to protecting consumer, might not be. So I think that the fintechs also have to be clear as to what are the risks to the, first the financial system in South Africa and to the consumers.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
I like that summary. I think you touched a point there where you were talking about the collaboration between fintechs and regulators. I think further to that is the common question that is always asked at any fintech event or conference, right, is are traditional financial service concerns and fintechs competing with each other, or is there actually a collaboration? I mean, we've all heard this a million times. Darren, I'm coming over to you now. I think the fact is that fintech disruption has the potential to reshape financial services. I mean, it's already begun, right? Like, this is happening every single day. What is your opinion on how established financial institutions should embrace digital transformation? I mean, building an app does not digital transformation make. And if the regulators and the fintechs need to collaborate, so should the rest of the ecosystem. How should they do that?
I was hoping we weren't going to talk about fintegration, because that's been spoken about for the last 10 years since I've been on the speaking circuit. So thanks for that. I do think we're seeing a seismic shift here in South Africa, though. If we look at someone like Standard Bank, so Standard Bank have got a product. Actually, I saw advertised for the first time when I was watching the F1 the other day, called Shift. And this is a wallet and a crypto and shared dealing and what have you for consumers. And I was thinking about this. You know, how does this fit into Standard Bank, and where does this fit into their offering? And I think if banks look at this from a customer journey and they look at it from customer acquisition, if I don't need to have a Standard Bank account to open up a Shift account, then actually what I could be doing is utilizing this as kind of a top of the funnel, we think in marketing terms, a top of the funnel way to get new consumers or to get new customers into the Standard Bank ecosystem. So I know Standard Bank is an interesting bank. They're doing lots of different things in the world of fintech. But certainly not exclusively. I think we look at all of the banks here in South Africa. We'll leave the challenger banks to the side for the moment. But I think if we look at the incumbent banks, they're all looking at digital transformation. But importantly, it's not just about technology. And that's really, really important. Again, if anyone wants to listen to a podcast we released just last week with Jamie Lodum from Diamond Trust Bank in Kenya, you know, this is about a whole cultural change within a bank. Yes, a bank can turn around and say, well, we've got an app and we're going to roll an app out and it's going to, you know, do all these wonderful things. Well, that's great. But if they haven't got the agile teams to develop these products, if they don't have the marketing sort of prowess to be able to go and market these products, if there isn't an understanding from the bankers in terms of what this new sort of fintech thing is coming in, it's very, very, very difficult. So I think there are lots of things. Andres touched on the regulatory side. We've obviously got cybersecurity side, which is extremely, you know, important as well. We've got a customer-centric approach. So thinking of customer first and the customer journey, how you know, because I think one of the challenges that banks, maybe all organizations, you know, globally have outside of financial services, this sort of stickiness and brand loyalty, you know, because there's so much choice now, because it's so easy to go and set up a bank account, you know, you can do one on your phone in less than 5 minutes. How do you retain your customers? How do you make sure you're getting your, you know, your revenue per user, your ARPU as high as you possibly can and retaining that consumer? So I think there's lots of challenges. You know, I would like to say just on one thing about, you know, I think the fintechs having this perception within the more mature financial services sector of us all walking around in hoodies and jeans and, you know, just walking up in slops and what have you. I think that's changed, right? I mean, I can't speak for myself sitting here in a hoodie, and Andres has got got a bit of paraphernalia from every fintech that he's ever spoken to. But I think what we are doing here, and I think what we've seen again globally, is a more mature approach to fintech. Where, you know, this is not just about building a clever app. This is really about, certainly in Africa, is about financial inclusion, changing people's lives, getting people into the financial ecosystem. And that's a serious, serious business. You know, we're dealing here with people's lives. You know, we've got, as we've seen in other parts of the world, we've got kind of the dark side of fintech, which is like digital loans companies or loans companies going online and, you know, just you know, rebadging themselves as an app. You know, that's kind of you know, different side of fintech. What we're trying to do here as Finasa is really give the industry the representation that we all believe that it deserves, and to have serious conversations with the regulators, with the other stakeholders, you know, with the education system, and with anyone that really will listen to us. So I just wanted to make that clear.
Thank you. I mean, I agree with you. There is definitely a mature level to fintech. But if we take it down to a very real problem at the foundation of financial services, that kind of amounts to financial literacy, financial inclusion, and access to funds. Now, a little birdie told me that Finasa has initiatives that target these issues specifically. And in South Africa, these are predominantly in the township areas, the areas that don't have access to that broader ecosystem. Kagiso, do you want to give us a little bit of insight into what that looks like?
No, thank you, Danny. Actually, it's quite exciting, right? For us, as Finasa, as you would know, there is an, how can I put it? Yes, we're servicing the fintech ecosystem holistically, but most importantly, we're talking about financial inclusion. And financial inclusion is not only about the end users, but also about those that enable them, right? So what does it look like? You know, looking at Sebo sitting in Soweto in the township, or, you know, people that are in the townships, they have brilliant ideas. And the challenge is that they cannot implement them, right? Okay, it's a mission for them to do so. And I'm talking from personal experience, because when I set up one of my fintech, MojaPay, to get regulatory compliance, it was a mission. To get the right tools, skills, and everything, it was a mission altogether. And luckily, I have access to certain the industry, because I spent a lot of time in the industry. And I wouldn't say the same for Sebo sitting in Soweto in the back room, because for him, he will fail before he even start, right? Because does not know what TPPP is and how to go about to get a TPPP license. So what we have done within Finasa, we've implemented a concept called, or a program called Gasi Tech. And the core focus of Gasi Tech is to enable those that need their skills and services, and to understand the fintech ecosystem at large, right? And how do we play a role as Finasa? You know, we're looking at training, we're looking at mentorship, we're looking at networking opportunities. And, you know, I don't want to go too much into the details, but for us, from training point of view, right, we're talking about regulatory requirements. What are the regulatory requirements that they need to abide by and when they build their platforms? TPPP, something called sponsor bank. Those that have been through the journey will understand what a mission it is. So for us, we want to take them through for their use cases to understand what are their requirements, technical skills and tools, what tools are needed, you know, cloud, computing, we're talking low-code development capabilities, agile capabilities, so, and project management at large. And something that is important is financial literacy and management, right? So it's important that as Finasa, those that are within us, we take them through to say, okay, how do you budget? How do you plan? If you have, you know, funding from a VC, for example, how do you use that money? And what are the expectations of you from the VC? And, you know, we can even talk about pitch decks. How do you craft a pitch deck that, you know, would be, you can go and sell to the potential funders of your fintech? And going into mentorship, because most of us within Fintech Association of South Africa run our own fintechs, yeah, or we head our own fintechs. So from a mentorship point of view, you know, how do we support these Gasi Tech participants and also advise and guide them on how to navigate the ecosystem? because those that have been through this know that it's not for the faint-hearted, and it's not easy, definitely. And and then networking, last one is, obviously, we have members within Finasa, and most of our members call them elite. They've been around the block, you know, they multi-million rent entities. So we also invite them to start talking to the to these GASITEC participants, and we'll invite them to the to our events, and also in some instances even pairing them. Right, you know, we can pair them if they're in different industries or relevant industries. We can pair them and help the GASITEC guys to also grow. Andres, I could see like you're very eager to see something.
I think you know, like it is worth mentioning that, you know, fintech products have been developed to be user friendly and to be used by the consumer, right? So, you know, like somebody who's in a township economy that understands how the system works, that understands how people actually pay, because we sometimes tend to think, because I have a credit card, because I have a debit card, I pay online with my debit card or whatever, right? But that's not the case of everybody. So I think that these fintechs do play an important role in the cashing society. I think at the moment, cash costs the economy about 0.5% of the GDP, which is about 21 billion rand. So cash is still expensive. And like I said, like the battle is not, again, between the banks or the fintechs or the incumbents. The battle is against the cashless society, because in essence, that's what we all try to do. That's what we try to do, digitalize payments to give access to finance to those that were previously perhaps not taken care of. So yeah, I think that we see massive value in economies, and we're no better people than actually the people who are on the field that understand how people transact every day, because those are the people that they will eventually be serving.
So if you know, the problem is quite broad in that we face issues like financial illiteracy or not understanding how to, you know, why cash is expensive and how to actually use alternative methods. Is, from what I understand here, the main issue seems to be on an education front, you know, around what fintech actually is, how it actually works, and the skills that we are lacking, you know, are not being taught in schools or universities, or even sometimes on the job. If you're starting out in fintech and you're starting quite a low paying or low level position, maybe it's not really made clear to you. Darren, you have a talent in, a background in talent and talent management. Is addressing that skills gap that we've just spoken about in regards to GASITEC, is that kind of something that the fintech sector in South Africa as a whole recognizes as an area of concern? I mean, is there enough shortage of talent or skills related to fintech and understanding fintech that leaders kind of take a step back and go, guys, we have to come together to find a solution?
There's quite a few questions there. Let's start and I'll try and unpack them a little bit. Is there a skill shortage in Africa? No. Myth. It's rubbish. There's no skill shortage in Africa. You know, there's a lack of understanding from companies about how to acquire and how to retain skills. Okay. That's the first thing. Secondly, education wise, I worry. I really do. You know, I've got, you know, two kids going through school, and they're being taught programming, they're being taught how to do Python and things like that. Well, that's great. But is that going to be relevant in 5 years' time? Because I can spin up a website now and tell it that I want to create an app that does X, Y, Z just by using text. And it will go, all right, it's not perfect, but it will go and create something. So, you know, with the advancements of AI and machine learning and robotics, you know, do I think that the skills that are being taught in school now are going to be relevant in 5 years' time? No, I don't. I really don't. I think there's a big issue there. You know, what skills are going to be needed? Well, that's a hot topic for another conversation, I think, for another day. I think when it comes to Kazi Tech, which I know Kagiso and I've just been working very, very closely on, and me from the sort of outskirts, you know, I don't think there's a lack of skill. I think that would be unfair to say. I think there may be a lack of understanding about how the financial services system works. Okay. Because there are lots of moving parts, and we can't, you know, we can't ignore the regulations. The regulations have been put in place, you know, to protect the consumer. And they're there for a reason. And you know, I think anyone that's coming into the world of fintech or financial services needs to absolutely abide by those. You know, we've had cases in the past where fintechs have popped up and tried to sort of, you know, do it first. We'll break it first, and then we'll ask for forgiveness afterwards. That's just not how regulators work, I'm afraid. So in most cases. So I think there's a little bit of lack of understanding about how the whole model works. But, you know, is there a shortage of talent in Africa? Absolutely not. You know, are the skills that are being taught in school relevant, are going to be relevant in 5 or 10 years' time? They're not. And I don't think there's a lack of skill when it comes to our Kazi Tech members, but there's a lack of an appreciation of the sort of the scale of financial services and regulations.
Is there support in South Africa, whether that means from a government or a regulator perspective, in order to make sure that the understanding of these, for lack of a better word, complex, you know, behaviors of an industry like financial services, is there support from other kind of organizations to try and make sure that people start understanding what that looks like? Andres is kind of like on the fence.
Yeah, let Andres take this one.
Yeah, look, I don't think so, because I had to learn everything myself by doing my own research, by reading papers, by reading books, by actually doing all of this. And, you know, like, if you're not in the industry and you don't start at a company like I started in fintech, it's very difficult to understand how this works. And generally, like most fintechs, they focus so much on the product that they develop that they forget sometimes the other sides, right? So like your Aero, your Nero, like PASA offers different courses. But I think that there is a lack in education when it comes to fintech products and financial services. Generally, if somebody starts at a bank, they will learn it as they go along, whether it's a product manager or whatever it is. But there is nothing specific that, except from like this what I said, PASA, universities, UCT, University of Johannesburg, they don't really have any of this. And this is why we perhaps have seen a lack in innovation when it comes to payments. Payments is 65% of the whole fintech industry. My belief, and this is my personal opinion, is that people don't really understand the core basis of what or how financial system works in South Africa. So yes, there is a lack of resources available.
So, I mean, we've identified this as a problem. Not to put you on the spot here, either of you, any of the three of you, but I'm assuming that FINASA has some sort of initiatives aimed at supporting the educational professional development of individuals who want to get into fintech or who are interested in fintech. Is there anything that you can share with listeners about what that looks like?
Yeah, I can start by trying to answer this one, Danny. And actually, I just want to jump back to the previous one and then continue with this regarding the role of the regulators, right? And again, I'm going to talk about my personal experience. For those that are aware, in South Africa, there's a huge initiative to drive into the payment industry body. Basically, we have PASA as it is, and there's a drive for the new PIB, right? And basically, it involves so many, call them moving parts, to set that up. But what that means, it's a payment industry body. And something that is very important is the inclusivity of fintechs within the PIB. And I guess that partly that's where, you know, FINASA somewhat started, because we said, as fintechs, we also need a seat around the table. Because currently, if you go to the regulators and kind of say, okay, well, we need payments ecosystem or payment methods to be reviewed, because we have alternatives that have been innovated as fintechs. So how things have been done through the banks and other, call them, honestly, old school, things have changed. We need to include alternatives and innovative alternatives. So that's where fintechs come in. And that is the role of the of an entity like FinASA to participate within the PIB and also the regulators, because we spend a lot of time as FinASA with the regulators. Not only that, but also, Andres, you can attest to this, from crafting the skill set that will be needed in the next, call it 10 years, within the payments, within financial technology space. And not only with the regulators, but we spend a lot of time with the learning institutions, the higher learning institutions, to say that the current modules, Darren, you've mentioned it, that the skill that is currently being given to people or to their kids in university now will not be relevant in the next 5 years. Chances are very high that it would have changed. And the pace that the industry, the pace that the innovation is going, supersedes the learning that is happening at universities and colleges, right? And it's important to the industry, to the ecosystem, for an entity like FinASA to participate with the regulators and the higher learning institutions. So from our side, we're spending a lot of time with them, like from regulatory compliance point of view and from technology point of view. And some skills that have changed. People still going through the waterfall approach in developing platforms and technologies. That has changed. We're quite agile now. You know, even because of the tools we have, like a low-code platform, it's easy to sit with the developer and the end user and actually build something together. And that's what we do, by the way. I know this personally because that's what we do in with our fintech platform. So we sit and we build as we go along. So the method of building, called the project management, an agile approach, needs to be considered for the future. I'll give it. Yeah, I don't know if there's anything the team would like to add on this.
Yeah, I think that's so far. I say like the importance of a fintech association, because kind of like we see ourselves in the middle. We see ourselves with the fintech. We see ourselves with the regulators, we see ourselves with the banks, we see ourselves with corporates, and we see ourselves with educational institutions that will sort of like bring together every single player into one ecosystem for the likes of those. And I think, you know, we've spoken to Digital Frontiers Institutes. I think for us is not to reinvent the wheel, but with what's available, create educational material, both for people in fintech, whether it's your C-suites, whether it's your middle management, because in essence, like the materials that is developed is completely different to the likes of those. And also one thing that we have forgotten to mention is consumer education. Remember that if a product doesn't have the trust and the consumer doesn't know how to understand or how to, you know, like for an instant EFT, it took, it took also about 3-4 years to educate consumers how to use instant EFT and how safe it was. So I think as an association, we also play a key role in educating consumers. I think it's very difficult to change consumer behavior. Oma, who has the cash and she has the cash in her boobs or under the bed, is very likely that you're not going to change that behavior. But the new generation that is upcoming, the one that have a cell phone that, that has internet, that understand how payments work, those are things that we actually have to target and develop, materials in a way that they can, that it can translate for them to understand for future use, call it more money, instant EFT vouchers, crypto as a payment, whatever it is.
It sounds like you guys have almost thought of everything with regards to how to solve these issues. One of the points that I know about FinASA is that the association will eventually be handed over to its members, right, to start running and continue with these initiatives that you've started. So I think this question is for all three of you, and it's more of an interest piece for our listeners rather than, you know, something specific about FNASA. But do you still feel that each of you will be contributing to the growth of the ecosystem, you know, once your collective roles at FNASA come to an end? And if so, how are you planning on staying involved with these things once the members take over?
Well, I'll go for that, if that's all right. I think just building on what I think it was Andres said a little bit earlier on, you know, I think we're building this not for any self-gain. We're building this for the industry that we're all three, four of us are extremely passionate about. I think from a personal perspective, I'm always going to stay involved in fintech. It's something I've been doing for the last decade, and seeing how it's evolved, not just here, but you know, across the continent, actually across the world, is mind-blowing. And I think with the advancements of all the new technologies that we've spoken about, I think it's only going to get more interesting. So, you know, I'd love in a few years' time to look back and go, hey, look, this is what we built, and we built the foundations for it. And, you know, for those that have been following our journey, you'll know it's not been easy. We've had a number of sort of false starts, and just think we were about to cross the finish line and then suddenly they move the posts. But we're all learning as we're going. We've had some really good advice. You know, we're very, very grateful for the people that have, you know, joined us on this journey. The certain companies that have really been behind us. I think we're very humbled by the approach, our numerous different balls that we're trying to juggle at the same time, and try not to drop any. But I think, you know, where are we now? We're sort of towards the mid of July. We are there or thereabouts. We've got final few bits to do. New website's being launched, and we'll be hitting your screens and seeing you at events very soon.
Yeah, I think, you know, like we all come from a fintech background. None of us comes from an association, from a nonprofit, or any of the likes of those. So it's kind of been a journey to, you know, learn about nonprofit in South Africa, nonprofit law, associations, you know, like competition law, code of ethics. And, you know, like I think it has been quite a journey trying to figure it all out. But like we said, like we're doing this out of passion. I think none of us has ever been paid by Fintech Association, not at all. So everything that we have received, it goes back into the ecosystem. And I think once, you know, like we finally feel like the Fintech Association has been properly set up, the idea is to hand over the association to the members, for the members to run, because that was the first thought when we started Fintech Association, is that we're building this, but we're building this for the ecosystem out of passion. And like Darren said, like myself, I would love to see in a couple of years that Fintech Association is, you know, like in treasury, or is speaking with the Congress or anything like that. So I do have a big vision for Fintech Association of South Africa. I am very passionate about fintech, so I think I'll definitely stay involved in Fintech Association, but I think more from a financial inclusion and financial literacy point of view.
Yeah. For me, Danny, something that is very close to my heart. I walked the journey. I paved the path because it was a hard path, right? There were hard journey for me that I walked to start my own fintech. So what I would like to see at the end of the day is an association that is successful. It's a successful advocacy group that represents the ecosystem in South Africa, and also inclusive, right? Fintechs coming from the townships should not struggle like I did. If I can get that, you know, to be a reality, then personally, I would have achieved something, because it's a journey that I walked. It was a difficult one. If I can have the journey for those that are coming behind me from the townships, then I would have achieved something. And not only that, I think I still like to be more involved, and I still I see Finasa being involved as a technology hub or fintech hub in the continent. So in the next year or two, one of the leading hubs in the continent. So if we can achieve that, I'll be happy when we step down, bow out, and say, and hand over to the members to lead the association.
Gentlemen, I think you and your members have a very long road ahead, a very exciting one, but long nevertheless. And I think I speak for all of us when I say I'm sure we can't wait to see Finasa's growth and the effects the association will have on the industry. And, you know, before we log off here, I'd love to know, and I'm sure our listeners would love to know, how can we contact you for more information regarding Finasa, or maybe people have some questions surrounding Kazitech, or honestly, they just want a little bit more information on fintech as a whole. How can they reach out to you?
Well, we don't have a fax machine, so please don't try and fax us. You can find out all the information.
Is the machine broken, Dan?
You can visit us on our website, which is being refreshed at the moment, but it's finasa.org.za. You can also follow us on LinkedIn. We're very active on LinkedIn. Our growth on LinkedIn has been quite incredible. I think we started, you know, almost a year ago now with, you know, 10 or 15 followers. We're now up to sort of 8,500. That's all been organic. So please follow us on LinkedIn. All our email addresses are kind of the same. It's at finasa.org.za. So Andres at, Darren at, Kagiso at, and Danielle at. So you can reach us there. We'd love to talk. You know, we are slowly onboarding new members. We've got partners that are coming on board as well. So it's really exciting times. And I just wanted to say it's been quite nice, Cyril, sitting back on this side of the desk for a change. I might do this more often. Thank you, Danny.
Well, there you have it. Reach out to these fintech gurus, if that's still a cool way to say something. If not, well, pick your own adjective. It's definitely not goodbye. It's more of a see you later. We'll be chatting to Finasa again later down the line to see how it's grown and what changes have been made. Thank you, Darren, Kagiso, and Andreas. It's been absolutely a great pleasure to have you on Talking Success.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Danny. It's been great.
And that's a wrap for this week's episode of Talking Success. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us for this fascinating discussion on all things fintech. We hope you've enjoyed this episode and have gained some valuable insights into the ever-evolving world of finance and technology. A huge thank you to our guests for sharing their expertise and providing us with some amazing insights that we certainly couldn't have done this without them. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and stay tuned for more exciting conversations with experts in the field. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep talking success.